But first, Australia Post has revealed that its former chief executive, Ahmed Fahour, was paid a total of $10.8 million after quitting earlier this year, amid political and community uproar about his fat pay deal. In its remuneration report released this morning, Australia Post confirmed Mr. Fahour was paid a total of $6.8 million in the 2017 financial year, sweetened by an additional $4 million in long-term incentives awarded from 2015 and 2016. Mr. Fahour's farewell pay is well above the $5.6 million estimate circulating in February in the lead-up to his abrupt resignation in the face of criticism. The Australia Post chairman, John Stanhope, has defended the multi-million dollar pay deal, but concedes it no longer meets community standards and is unlikely to pass the pub test. John Stanhope spoke with the ABC's senior business correspondent, Peter Ryan.
Well, John Stanhope, how difficult is it to justify a $10.8 million final payday for Ahmed Fahour?
Well, firstly, let's understand that what we're looking at there is obviously the amount of money that he would normally get paid in the year he worked, and then the rest of it is incentives and historicals. When you think about what he's done, it's fairly significant, from $300 million losses to the result that we're announcing today, $126 million profit.
Still, even though this includes Mr. Fahour's 2017 pay and long-term incentives over 3 years, it's still a pretty good farewell present given his torrid time at Australia Post over 7 years.
Well, you call it a torrid time. I would call it a significant time of contribution and actually bringing Australia Post back to paying dividends to the government, and so the taxpayers are getting a reward for that hard effort.
Mr. Stanhope, you took a lot of heat back in February about Mr. Fahour's salary from the Prime Minister and the Communications Minister in a hostile Senate committee. When the figure of Mr. Fahour's salary was sitting at around $5.6 million, now with bonuses it's doubled. So are you expecting a bigger community and political backlash?
I mean, if you're talking about does it meet today's community expectations, I think it's fair to say that the community expectations have changed and that we recognise that, but we need to understand that when this CEO, the former CEO's contract was formed back in 2010, community expectations were different.
You talk about community standards, but at $10.8 million, does this pass the pub test?
Well, I've already said I don't believe that today's community expectations are met by that amount of money, but I do honour contractual obligations. And the recognition that we believe that doesn't pass the pub test is what we're doing going forward.
But did the board consider cutting Mr. Fahour's bonuses or maybe even taking them down to zero because of the potential for community or political flak?
A board under a contract doesn't have unfettered discretion. But in terms of contractual obligations, if hurdles are set down and conditions for payment are set down contractually, as they were, then we don't have an unfettered discretion to say we're not going to pay you anything.
Have you briefed either the Prime Minister or the Communications Minister, given the hot issue of Mr. Fahour's ultimate pay?
Oh, of course. We have briefed the Prime Minister and the Minister about what is being released today, but certainly the Minister for Communications has indicated again to the board to take into account community expectations, and I've said we will, but we also have an obligation contractually to the employer.
Mr. Fahour's successor, Christine Holgate, will receive a substantially lighter deal set at a maximum of $2.75 million with a base fixed at 1.37 and a potential short-term bonus capped at a similar level. Do you accept, though, that that smacks of a bit of a raw deal given moves to bridge the gender gap?
Look, it's got nothing to do with gender, what Christine Holgate's getting, and I'll point out that that remuneration for the new CEO has been set by the Remuneration Tribunal, not the board. But nevertheless, it is a adjustment for community expectations. I'm very pleased to have Christine Holgate accept this role on those conditions, and I think she'll be an excellent CEO.
Also, unlike Mr. Fahour, Ms. Holgate won't be eligible for long-term incentive payments like the ones that delivered Ahmed Fahour $4 million over 3 years.
No, again, part of the Remuneration Tribunal's conditions is there is or will not be a long-term incentive plan.
Do you have any regrets about the way Mr. Fahour's pay deal has been handled and seen by politicians and the public, given, as you say, the turnaround that he's undertaken at Australia Post?
My understanding is that the board at the time wrote a contract to persuade Mr. Fahour, who is an excellent CEO, to come and do the job, and community expectations were quite different back then. I understand why they did that, and they attracted him and his talent, and I still will maintain that he's done a very good job.
The confirmation about Mr. Fahour's outgoing pay does overshadow a strong profit for you after tax of $95 million. That's despite a $108 million loss on the letter business. But is Australia Post turning the business around to take on e-commerce competitors, especially in that lucrative parcels area?
You're probably right. I hope it does not overshadow a very good result. You know, with somebody like Amazon coming into the environment, we're looking forward to even further boost in online shopping and our e-commerce business.
Australia Post Chairman John Stanhope with the ABC Senior Business Correspondent Peter Ryan.